864-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield regarding World War II, the key battles, key generals. So let's pick up, I believe, where we left off, where you were getting right to the United States getting involved in the war, December 7th, 1941.
Right. So from December 7th to 1st of June, Japan is sweeping through, capture of the Philippines, a lot of islands there in the South Pacific, one defeat after another. They were a little bit checked at the Battle of Coral Sea. This is a key battle. Battle of Midway in June of 1942, they were stopped. They lost four carriers, and they were stopped. And then later, a little bit later, a couple of years later, When the United States entered into their island hopping strategy, what the strategy was, and you guys know this, I'm sure, the strategy was we're going to have to get island after island after island, capture the island, build an airstrip, get supplies there, and then move on a few hundred more miles or 500 miles to the next island, to the next island. A lot of battles in the South Pacific against the Japanese. A lot of battles. Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Leyte Gulf, Okinawa was the last. We had to get close enough to Japan to bomb them, because we were planning. We thought they would not, and I agree, they would not have surrendered just because they'd lost the war. They were going to fight house to house. We made the calculations that if we have to take 500,000 men and invade the home island, we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of men, and the Japanese will lose more. It was decided to use the atomic bomb. Now, I think it was the right call. Now, there's a controversy because Eisenhower, who, he was in Europe fighting, and it wasn't his decision anyway. He was the president, by that time, President Truman, made a decision, we're going to use it. To me, it's the right decision. You say, well, too many civilians died. Listen, probably fewer civilians died by using the bomb than by not using it, because we could see how the Japanese fought ferociously, and a lot of these other islands, the civilians would commit suicide before they would surrender, and they would fight. I mean, that we had to bring the war to an end, and I think it was the right decision. Eisenhower didn't. And this is kind of interesting. I never thought about this. I kind of like Eisenhower, but he didn't. There's no contemporary evidence that he argued against using the bomb until much later, when he was starting to run for president. And then he started to back up, you know, we shouldn't have used the bomb and take the moral high ground. And so I'm not even sure. I don't know. There was a split between Eisenhower and Truman. Eisenhower did not like Truman by the end of the war, and especially after the war. There was a slight of Eisenhower to Truman on Eisenhower's inauguration day. They didn't get along, you know, and that's something I wanted to bring up. I find this interesting that there's always problems. There's always generals that don't like each other, and that's just the way it is. Okay, just the way it is. While all these battles were being fought in the Soviet Union was pressing for another front to be opened up, the Western Front, so we planned the huge D-Day. And that was up to Eisenhower. And you've heard me talk about it the whole shows two or three times. Gigantic logistical plan. Thousands of ships and planes, hundreds of thousands of men. It was incredible. Largest amphibious invasion history of the world. ultimately, when we landed on those five beaches, it was successful. And we did have a breakout. But then you had all these quarrels of all these generals. The big general from Britain was Bernard Montgomery. He had been successful in North Africa. He was arguing with Eisenhower because Eisenhower was the supreme Allied commander. He was involved in this as as were George C. Patton and as was Omar Bradley. I mean, these were all generals, and they all had egos, especially Patton and especially Montgomery. Montgomery was arguing for not just a broad invasion. He wanted to, of course, he viewed himself as the supreme smartest guy in the room. You know, he argued that he should take a strike force and go straight to Berlin. They'll capitulate. We don't have need to have this broad movement toward Berlin. Eisenhower overruled him, and he won. And so after the breakout, after D-Day, we were moving. It was going well. And some people were saying, hey, we're going to be home. This is going to be over by Christmas. But Adolf Hitler had one more big plan. He was going to try to push through the Allied lines and get to Antwerp, capture a port, split the Allies. Maybe the Allies would negotiate a surrender because the war, he could extend the war for a year or two. And that was called the Battle of the Bulge. He once again pushed through the Ardennes. We were not expecting it, and there was a gigantic push in this battle. It is now known as the Battle of the Bulge. We lost a lot of people, and the Germans lost a lot. We lost 89,000 people, soldiers, in the Battle of the Bulge. Ultimately, the Germans lost more. There's something very interesting. Before this had happened, there was some intelligence that somebody worked for Patton, whose name was, and I just learned about this, Colonel Cook, C or Koch, however it's pronounced, who's a high-level Allied intelligence officer who had said to the upper people in the intelligence, I think Germany's planning a counteroffensive. And they said, no. Eisenhower heard about it. He didn't think it was going to happen. Montgomery heard about it. He didn't think it was going to happen. But this guy worked. He was on the staff for Patton. And he went to Patton, and Patton says, okay, you might be right. Patton was on this, was in one of the areas they were heading straight toward Berlin. And the Battle of the Bulge was happening north, or a little bit north and west of him. So he planned a strategic, we're gonna pivot. And if this happens, we're going to turn because they're going to need our help. And lo and behold, in December 1944, it does happen. And so he had all these contingency plans. He turned 90 degrees and took his army up there to the besieged troops that were in this one last city they were holding, Bastogne, and relieved them. By the way, Bastogne, one of the greatest quotes when the when General McAuliffe was there and he was asked, said, by the Germans, would you surrender? His response was, nuts. No way, I'm not surrendering. There was the 101st Airborne that was just holding that city out. And so Patton takes his army in lightning speed. The Germans no way thought he could get there that quickly, but he did. Relieved Bastogne, and the Germans ran out of fuel. And they were collapsed after the Battle of the Bulge, which was ended in January of 1945. Now it just became a race to Berlin. But these generals, Eisenhower and Omar Bradley knew each other. Patton and Eisenhower knew each other. But especially Montgomery, after the Battle of the Bulge, Montgomery has this press conference, when he just belittles the Americans, just belittles them, and basically says, you know, it wasn't for us, they ought to leave it to us. We know what we're doing. We've been in this fight a lot longer than you guys have been. But that eventually gets to Eisenhower, when Eisenhower hears about it, and Bradley hears about it, They are infuriated. And Eisenhower drafts a letter that he doesn't completely send, but he gets the message to Marshall, who is works for Roosevelt. No doubt Roosevelt would have, not Roosevelt by this time, it would still be Roosevelt. And he says, if you don't relieve, or I don't get an apology from Montgomery, I'm resigning. And they get a hold of Winston Churchill, and Winston Churchill had a good relationship with Montgomery, and he goes to Montgomery and says, you have got to apologize. And so, and eventually, at the end, Montgomery issues an apology. So he says, says, you're a very devoted subordinate. And so Eisenhower didn't resign. My point in all this is, in every war, there are generals on the same side who are vying for glory. Patton was a glory hog. Now, was Roosevelt? I don't think he was. I think he, although, you know, obviously, Eisenhower was the head of the whole thing. He felt responsible for the whole thing. He had all these egos that were constantly working and didn't like this plan, didn't like that plan. When they were planning D-Day, a big bunch of arguments. The Brit who was in charge of the paratroopers says, we're going to lose 80% of our men on this. And Eisenhower says, we need that to distract attention from the beaches, because the main thing is we've got to secure a foothold, a beachhead. We have to. And by sending paratroopers and troops and gliders over there, it will distract the Germans so they won't all come to the beaches and slaughter us on the beaches, because if we don't take the beaches, this invasion will fail and the war will go on for who knows how long. And he was always trying, Eisenhower was, to accommodate people. But Montgomery, whom they called Monte, was such an arrogant guy that he was forced to submit to Eisenhower. And Eisenhower, they never really got along much. They didn't have any open feuds after this. But open feuds can be nasty. I mean, listen, in world politics, in wars, for people on the same side, there are egos. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, there are egos. Never forget it. Whether you're talking, I'm very curious what's going on with J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. I guarantee you they both have egos.
Well, got some thoughts about that. We'll discuss it. Final segment of our discussion today with Pastor Chatfield. Short break. We'll be right back.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, I got a text message from Jim up in Sheboygan, and he says, speaking of General Patton, can you have Pastor Chatfield explain? He wanted to extend the war and actually clean up Russia.
Right. He advocated. Now, this is after, of course, the Battle of the Bulge. And again, Patton should get a lot of credit for this. He was the only guy that saw this coming and was prepared and got there in very short order to relieve Bastogne. So he gets a lot of credit. And by the way, the Germans, we learned this after the war, they were afraid of Patton, or maybe not afraid, but they realized Patton was our best general. On the field, our best general. They thought so. And in this case, they were right. Okay. After the war, he was saying to Truman, hey, and Eisenhower, let's go. Let's go further. There is coming a conflict between the communists and us, the West. Listen, Stalin, he wasn't going to just get to Berlin and let all of Eastern Europe have free and fair elections. Of course not. Now, he said he was, but he didn't. And it's just totally true that Patton wanted to let's go in there and at least occupy part of Poland. So after the war, what happens for the next 50 years or so, or 40 years, you have the Eastern Bloc, you have the Iron Curtain up until, you know, from about 47 until about 90, a little over 40 years. So in other words, there's a war coming, and we got to fight. But he was out, you know, he was overruled, and America, I don't think, would have gone along with that. I don't know. But Truman didn't go along with it. Eisenhower didn't go along with it. But, yeah, that's he did see it coming. He was right, but we didn't have another world war. I was talking over the holidays with one of my sons who was saying, look, you think we're going to have another world war? And I said, look at human nature. Man, just research the Holocaust, the genocide that happened in all those concentration camps during World War II. How could you say, well, we're beyond that. Nobody would do that anymore. We wouldn't murder 6 million people like that and put them in gas chambers and do that. Oh, are you sure? Human nature has not changed. We have to be prepared for war, but we don't want to be... I don't want to be a complete neoconservative that goes looking for wars and views ourselves as the world's police. No. But on the other hand, we can't totally isolate ourselves from the rest of the world and just think that we're going to be safe behind our ocean. That's what Holland thought. There's a whole section about Holland. Holland didn't get involved in World War One. He says, "Well, Germany, they won't invade us. We stayed out of it." Yeah, but sorry, now you got a new Hitler, a new leader. His name is Hitler. And no, you are going to get invaded. And originally, they just kind of went along, but the screws of the Nazism screwed down on Holland terribly hard, just like they did the rest of Europe. That's who mankind is. Yes, we're going to have more wars. Yes, we have to be prepared, but let's not go looking for them. But we can't totally put the cover over our heads and think that everything's going to be okay. Okay, my last statement is yes, I do think President Trump's done a really good job on negotiating these hard things. Yes, it's, no, yeah, I do. I think he's done a good job.
Well, there you go. A lot of people, you know, didn't want him to succeed, obviously, the Democrats. And with all these peace deals and now taking phase two into Gaza, phase two being implemented, surrendering the weapons and basically de-arming Hamas, threatening now all kinds of things happening with China, running these military exercises in Taiwan, and then Iran saying we're flat out at war with the United States and Europe and the Middle East. I mean, it's just a crazy time right now that we're living in.
Now, it is true. We haven't since 1945. Okay, 55. How many years has it been since
81.
Okay. Well, we haven't had a world war in 80 years. Okay.
Right.
Do you think that's just never going to happen again? I'm sorry. I don't know the future. I can't. But I do know the past in the sense I study history for my entire life. Wars happen. You got to be prepared for this. And in my view, there's two extremes. One is going out looking. No, we can't do that. Looking for a war. We're not the world's policemen. No. America first. But the other extreme is, it's not our war. We're going to just hole up here in the United States and let the rest of the world go to war, and it will not affect us. That does not happen. I do not think Hitler would have been satisfied with Europe. There would have been a conflict eventually with Hitler or whoever his successor would have been. We did what we had to do. That's my view.
Well, it's kind of interesting, the process. And like you say, wanted to stay out of that war as long as possible. But once we were attacked, Pearl Harbor, they woke up that sleeping giant. And we definitely changed the outcome, that's for sure.
No doubt.
Without it, the world would not have been the same had we not gotten into that war. It would have been
no doubt.
Totally different America.
No doubt. Yes.
Yeah, no absolutely. Doubt. All right, sir. We'll see you on the radio on church on Sunday at 11 o'clock.
Very good. See you guys Sunday.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Ax My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axmytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axmytax.org.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I didn't.